Hello everyone, welcome to another episode of NESG Radio. Today we are discussing the National Sports Industry Policy, a panacea for sports development in Nigeria. And to discuss this important topic, we have one of our renowned leads at the NESG, Ms. Nkechi Obi, who is the Sports Industry Thematic Lead of the Tourism, Hospitality, Entertainment, Creatives and Sports Industry Policy Commission, which is also one of the 12 policy commissions at the NESG. She's also the chairperson of the Nigeria Women's Football League and a board member of the NFF. Good to have you with us today, Ma. How are you doing, Ma?
Very well, thank you. It's a pleasure to be here. Good morning or afternoon, depending on where you are.
Yes, ma'am. Welcome. So we'll go straight away to our questions. So first of all, we want to find out, what is the National Sports Industry Policy and what are its primary objectives?
Okay, so the National Sports Industry Policy is a policy that attempts to present the business side of sports as the foundation for growing, developing the sports industry. Hitherto, the focus for Nigeria had always been on the participation side of sport, with very little contribution or influence from the business aspect of sport. And because of that focus on just participation, the ecosystem, the value chain of sports had not been developed to be able to support a proper sports development strategy. So this National Sports Industry Policy was designed to focus on sports as business, so that all the other aspects, the value chain, the ecosystem, could develop and give us a proper sports industry that would enable brands, that would support the development of athletes, to now be developed and give us a more robust industry that contributes to the economic growth of the country.
Okay, so our next question. What steps are being taken to ensure effective execution and monitoring of the policy?
Okay, well, as a lot of people are aware, the policy was developed working in consonance with the then Ministry of Youth and Sports Development, which has now metamorphosed into the Ministry of Sports Development. One of the outcomes of that policy is actually now giving sports a ministry of its own. So we are not with youth, we are not with social development as was the case in the past. We now have a ministry that's totally devoted to us. And because of that, the implementation of the policy becomes a bit easier because you are focusing strictly on sport. So part of what was recommended in the policy was an development of an implementation plan that would focus on the 10 key policy thrust areas that range from federations and athlete development right through sports, and the economy, facilities development, social impact, and legal, right up to how to fund sports, and then sports and the digital economy. So the implementation is actually supposed to be driven by both the private sector and the government, with the government contributing primarily to designing a bouquet of incentives that would attract the necessary investment into the industry. The critical elements of the policy were hinged on what we call the 3 I's and 1 P strategy, which is really an incentives-backed investment into infrastructure, all to be driven by the policy. So the policy has been delivered. The next step in the implementation is to deliver the incentives that would encourage the private sector to actually now bring in the investment into the infrastructure that was seen as the bedrock. Infrastructure is the foundation of a proper ecosystem. So what we're expecting from the government in the next step of the implementation is the delivery of the incentives to encourage private sector investment. If we consider that the investment that the policy targets over the next 10 years into the industry is an annual $500 million into the industry, you can imagine the kind of incentives that we're looking for. Luckily for us, before the end of the last government, a bouquet of incentives was developed by the NESG and the Ministry of Youth and Sports then, based on the committee set up, the FEC committee set up by President Buhari, that had both the ministers of youth and sport and the minister of finance as co-chairs, and had the central bank, customs, and the ministry of industries, trade and investment all as members. So that bouquet of incentives has been passed on to the current federal government committee on fiscal reforms, and hopefully by the time they finish their work, we will now know exactly what incentives the private sector gets. When that has happened, there are also a few other critical elements, like setting up this small satellite accounting system to measure the impact or the contributions, the economic contribution of sports to the overall Nigerian economy. There's also the issue of adjudicating on possible conflicts that might arise through the National Court of Arbitration for Sport. That's work that's going. There's also the issue of de-risking the sector so that small and medium enterprises would have access to funds. There's the issue of what level of infrastructure will be required at community level to ensure that we create markets for goods and services through mass participation, and then also what level of investment will be required for commercial impact projects such as manufacturing plants, content development agencies or media agencies, as well as professionalization of clubs, leagues, and events, such that we could create a national calendar for sports events that could aid tourism through sports tourism. So all of this is all targeted, and the implementation therefore is still going to have to be between, based on the collaboration between the NESG representing the private sector as well as the Federal Ministry of Sports Development.
Thank you very much, Ma. And this shows that the government has a lot of role to play to ensure that we have more private sector investments in the sector, as their incentives have been created, and the government just needs to ensure that these incentives are delivered for the private sector to formally invest in the sector, and then the sector can properly add to the GDP of the economy. So going straight on, we'll go to our next question. How are various stakeholders, including sports associations, private entities, integrated into the policy implementation process?
Okay. From the beginning of the process of developing the policy, it was determined that stakeholder engagements would be necessary not only to drive the process of developing the policy, but even the process of implementing. If you look through the policy, key policy drivers identified included federations, include associations, include the government at both national and sub-national levels, and also included professional services such as lawyers, agents, doctors, and the works. It also included in there the funding the funders, that is development, finance institutions, banks, insurance companies, pension funds, all of that. So the policy drivers were clearly identified. And it's the process of engaging with those policy drivers to ensure that everybody is facing in the same direction, everybody meets the targets that are set in the policy to generate about 4 trillion naira annually in revenue, contribute between 1.5 and 2% to the economy, drive about $500 million annually into the infrastructure development, and employ over a 10-year period, see that you employed between 1.5 and 2 million, 3 million people directly or indirectly. So the process of doing that is, you know, requires serious stakeholder engagement. And that was one of the reasons that the NESG actually encouraged the formation of Sport Nigeria as a private sector, a not-for-profit private sector intervention agency that could hold hands. What this requires is, like, you know, you're about to deliver a baby. The midwife is the one that ensures that everybody is doing what they're supposed to do. Even when you have a doctor there, the matron or the midwife is sitting there ensuring that everything happens and works very well so that the baby is delivered. In this instance, Sport Nigeria was NESG encouraged the setting up of Sport Nigeria as a limited by guarantee private sector intervention agency to kind of midwife the process of ensuring that the government at all levels, whether it's national, state or local government, is talking to the sports federations, is talking, then the private sector is also talking to the government. The funders are talking to the people who are going to build infrastructure. The people who are building, the people who are going to manage infrastructure are talking to the people who are going to ensure that there is mass participation in sport. Those who are manufacturing are talking to the funders and talking to the government to ensure that the incentives happen. In all of this, in the middle of all of this, Sport Nigeria is ensuring that everybody is facing the same direction towards the same goal. So that's how it's going to work. The private sector is going to be driving this, but the government is going to lead. So this whole policy is a government-led, private sector-driven strategy that at the end of the day should deliver on the objectives, the goals, and the expectations set out in the document.
All right, thank you very much, Ma. And our next question is, in what ways does NSIP address the enhancement of sports infrastructure across the country?
Okay. Let me put it this way. If we said that at the heart of the policy was the three I's and one P, and the one of the I's is infrastructure. So the three I's is incentives-backed investment into infrastructure. The biggest, you know, you can now imagine why infrastructure really is at the heart of all of this. One of the biggest problems that was identified in the course of developing the policy was the severe gap in infrastructure that did not enable a seamless process of athlete development, management, and, you know, deployment. The lack of infrastructure, particularly at community level, also was a hindrance to mass participation in sports as a strategy for market development. If you do not have infrastructure at community levels, you cannot develop a market to consume goods and services. So the target for a proper this policy was to see if we could get anything between 50 and 60 million people spending a minimum amount of about 100 naira a day to live their passion for sport. We had identified that there was a passion for sport, but it was focused more on participating in international events and what have you. The focus for any policy to have economic impact is to encourage the citizenry to participate in sport for recreation, particularly in the education sector and the fitness and leisure sector. That wasn't happening in a coherent and structured manner. So, and it was not happening simply because there was a lack of community infrastructure to encourage more people to play sport on a daily basis as recreation or leisure. So, first focus is to ensure that at community level, there are enough facilities in place to encourage members in a city, in a town, in a community to play sport so that we can reach that 60 million target, right? So if we can do that, then we could add up to 7,000 community-based facilities across the country. If you are able to add 7,000 community, which is the need, the need is 7,000 community facilities. I don't think we have up to 1,000. I'm very certain that they're not up to 1,000. So there's a gap of about 6,000 to meet. If you can add 6,000 community facilities, then you have a chance of creating a market of about proper market now that is spending money on goods and services in the sports sector of about 50 million people. If you have 50 million people spending 100 naira a day, you are close to your target of 4 trillion, if not more than that. So infrastructure is critical. The second level of infrastructure is a commercial infrastructure that enables you to host events. What that does for you is that you can now bid for many different sports events, global sports events, and attract them here and attract the inflow of visitors into your country to come and spend money. I'm here in Abidjan now for the AFCON, and you know the national team lost their third group stage match, and there's a feeling of gloom and doom because they can almost see a drop in spending because the national team isn't playing. There's a chance for them to qualify for the next stage, in which case there'll be an uptick in the domestic spend and as well as an uptick in more people coming into the country. So infrastructure, I've seen they spent a lot of money on infrastructure development, renovations, and even building a new stadium. All in all, it's estimated at $1.5 billion was spent to prepare to host this tournament. That's a lot of money. If the host country remains in the tournament, they would see a commensurate amount of money coming in. Hotels are full, bars are full, people are shopping, people are buying replicas all over the place, people are paying for tickets for matches. It's a complete value chain exploitation and leveraging experience here. So that's the reason why infrastructure is critical. But on a domestic level, it's really about building markets, and community infrastructure is critical to that process.
All right, Ma, thank you very much. It is good to know that there are different levels of infrastructures needed for the enhancement of sports in the country, and what's needed to build stadiums to attract hosting major tournaments, which also leads to having service centers built and the likes. This is really good to know, Ma. Thank you very much. So going on, our next question is, what measures are in place to support the development and welfare of athletes in Nigeria?
Can you take that again, please?
Okay, Ma, I said, what measures are in place to support the development and welfare of athletes in Nigeria?
Okay, now, in terms of the sports policy, or generally in terms, you know, I'd like to understand that. Because if it's in terms of the sports... Yes, go on. If it's in terms of the sports... Is it in terms of the sports policy?
The sports policy, Ma. Yes, Ma.
Right. So in terms of sports policy, the first section of the chapter 5 on policy thrust areas, section 5.1, deals with federations and elite athlete development. And in it, recommendations are made for how federations can be reformed so that they deliver on their core objective of developing their sport, developing the athletes within their sport, and developing the value chain, the ecosystem around their sport. What federations require right now is that level of reform that encompasses administrative, corporate governance, and management restructuring to be able to chart a short, medium, and long-term development plan for athletes' development, training, and welfare. Most times, what we do in terms of athlete development is to build a house from the roof. We're so focused on competitions that we don't understand that the talent identification process is as important, if not even more important, than the development process. Why do I say so? Because you need to be able to identify the talent early enough. If you want an athlete to perform at the Olympic Games when they're like 18, 19, 20, 21, you need to find them when they're like 4 years, 5 years, max 6 years. Because the process of developing an Olympic athlete, for example, takes about anything between 12 and 14 years. And in between, there will be competitions at different age grade levels. So the policy recommends corporate governance, administrative, and management reform as the foundation of ensuring that the federations can function optimally and be able to chart short, medium, and long-term development goals for their sport. If the recommendations that are in the policy are followed through assiduously, there is no reason for talent identification, talent development, and management not to be a seamless process.
All right. Thank you very much, Ma. Thank you. Thank you for your time. So we're still going. We still have about 3 more questions, and we'll be done shortly. So our next question is the NSIP designed to foster collaboration and partnerships with international sports organizations?
It certainly is.
The national
is.
Sports industry?
It certainly is.
Okay, thank you.
It certainly is, in the sense that there's a full section devoted to legislative and international relations. That section, I believe, is section 5.8 under the policy thrust areas, right? Identifies that our federations being a part of international sports organizations can only be a plus for us. It will enable us to take advantage of strategies, funding, and other incentives that the international sports federations bring to the table. What do we mean by that? If you belong to, let's take football for example, and you have somebody who is a member of FIFA, or a member of CAF from here. There is nothing that's going to be discussed there that that person will not be able to attract to your country. And in attracting to your country, to help that particular federation to achieve its goals locally. So recommendations were made under that section that even the Ministry of Foreign Affairs should be engaged, you know, in the process of pushing our candidacy in several international sports organizations and even multilateral organizations where sports is a key component of the development strategies. What organizations like the United Nations have identified, particularly in the SDGs, is that sports is a key strategy for achieving the SDG, the SDGs as outlined by the UN. For example, there are 5, possibly 6 SDGs that the UN has said sports can help with. And therefore, the UN is focused on driving some of those things. One of them is SDG number 5, which has to do with gender equality and inclusivity. And that is a key component also in the sports policy, that sports could be a way to get women, more women into leadership and management roles. When we say leadership and management roles, it also means that we're going to push for more women to be in international sports organizations as a means of getting those benefits that come to member countries to be even more targeted and bringing them, domesticating them back home here. SDG numbers 2 and 3 that have to do with health and education are also recognized as goals that sports can also help with, particularly education, you know, healthy living and livable cities are also some of the SDGs. So in terms of the recognition of where sports is with international agencies, particularly sports organizations, it is the NSIP went a long way in making recommendations as to how we could leverage participation and membership of these organizations to be able to derive benefits from them. So yes, in a nutshell, you could say the NSIP, you know, recognized that and recommended that we should pursue membership of international sports organizations as an implementation strategy.
Thank you very much, Mao. We have 2 more questions to go and we will be done shortly. And second to last, we have, what efforts are being made to raise awareness and garner support for the policy among the Nigerian population?
Okay, so here's the thing. The NSIP was a collaborative effort between the private sector and the government, as represented by the NESG and the Federal Ministry of Youth and Sports, the now Federal Ministry of Sports Development. But essentially, it is government-led, private sector-driven. Therefore, the onus of letting the public know what this has for them really lies with the government. It's their, it's the government's policy that says, and statement of intent that says, this is how we now see sport. So in chapter 4, where we identified the role of each major stakeholder, that's the role of the federal government, the role of the state government, the role of the local government, the role of the private sector, and the role of social enterprise sector. One of the main roles that was assigned to the federal government was to ensure that the general populace understood what was in it for everybody, wants to, you know, for this policy to be implemented. At subnational level, it was also a key role for states, not only to try to domesticate the policy within each state as the first step towards implementing a robust sports development agenda, whether for social impact or for commercial impact, but to also ensure that the citizens understood why it would be important to engage in sports for recreation and for leisure and even for professionalization. It's important because it's at the state level really that the implementation happens. It's at the state level, we all live in a state. It's at the state level that mass market will be created. It's at the state level that the people must be encouraged to actually participate in sport as a mass market strategy and as a strategy for getting a healthier, fitter citizenry. So at those two primary levels, the communication is different, but it is the responsibility of government at federal to say this is our intent, both for social impact and for business, for investment, for private sector involvement. This is our intent with the policy. At state level, it becomes, this is our intent to create, to use the domesticated policy in our state based on the national one to create a market for goods and services. We want more people to play sport. We want more school children to play sport so that we can begin talent discovery, talent development, and talent management at the right age. We want more people to play sport so that they become healthier. And we want more people from a business perspective, not only to play sport, but to watch events, to participate in events, because we want to build the ecosystem that will deliver the value chain and ergo the revenues and the economy, the business around sport. So all parties, these two parties are critical to ensuring that they can garner the support, and would love to see a very robust communication plan that will enable everybody to see that sport is really the next big thing after how big telecom, fintech, and what have IT have been. So hopefully in our subsequent engagements with governments at federal and subnational level, we will be able to get them to understand that this is what they need to do.
Thank you very much, Ma. It has been a wonderful time. And finally, I know this question might sound tricky. So we're going on to the African Cup of Nations now, Ma. And with the host nation, Cote d'Ivoire, and Ghana on the verge of disqualification, what are your predictions and how well do you feel Nigeria would go?
Okay, so here's the thing. Cote d'Ivoire still has a very narrow chance of making it to the second round. They've got 3 points. Something tells me that, you know, 3 points and a low goal difference might just get you into the second round. So Ghana's group is out completely. Nobody can come third. The person who came third in that group has no chance of making it as best third place qualifiers. So there are still 5 groups where the person who comes third can still make, 4 people who come third can still make it to the next round. So Cote d'Ivoire is not completely out. We just have to wait to see what happens today and what happens tomorrow. So that's one. And for on a personal level, I'd really love to see Cote d'Ivoire still stay in the tournament. It's good for the tournament. for the host to still be there. Now, concerning the Eagles, I always felt, before I even left Lagos to come here, that if we play our cards right, nothing stops us from getting to the semi-final. And I'm still standing by that. We may not be looking like the most fluent and the most effective up front, but the one thing we have going for us is that we have one of the meanest defenses. We've only considered one goal, and goals win you games. The defense wins you tournaments. So as somebody made a reference to Greece in 2004, I think, the European Championships, where they barely scored three goals, but Greece beat the most. It was hosted in Portugal, and Greece beat a golden generation of Portuguese players who were expected to win that tournament by a solitary goal. They were the most defensive team in that tournament, and they ended up winning the tournament. So I'd like for us to take positives from the fact that in terms of defense, we're very mean. We're not generous at all. We don't let anybody score. We may not be scoring that many, but the business end of the tournament is starting on Saturday, and I have a feeling things might just change. So I still think we're good for the semifinal. I still think so. And let's see who gets there with us.
All right. Thank you very much, Ma. We genuinely appreciate. Thank you for taking our time to join us today on the NESG Radio. It has been a wonderful 37 minutes plus. Thank you, and we wish you all the very best as you continue to drive the Sports Industry Thematic Group, the Nigerian Women Football League, and the NFF. Thank you very much, Ma.
Thank you very much for having me. Always a pleasure to make an appearance at NESG Radio, and you guys are doing a great job. Well done.
To listen to previous episodes of NESG Radio, visit www.nesgroup.org/podcast. And for more information about the NESG, kindly visit www.nesgroup.org. Thank you.